Bam! In your face like a mug. We back for another episode of the Freedom Train Podcast Series. I'm your host, Joseph Ward, and as always, ride with my homeboy, the good sir, Mr. Patrick Irvin. And remember that the Freedom Train, the good sir. Hey man, I'm trying. It's I thought about this one of them goddamn 1400 movies set in England. He was a knight. He was Sir Patrick Irvin.
Okay. I like it.
Hey, so but remember the Freedom Train is brought to you by PAX Inc. That's PACTSINC. And PAX Inc. is a Black development organization aimed at developing the Black community to its highest to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. For more information, make sure you visit their website at www.pactsinc.org. I got this Freedom Train riding right across in front of my face. I saw that. But PACTSINC.org. When you go to the website, make sure that you click on all of the tabs at the top. The tabs have very, very, very important information, codes of conduct, how you can become a member, how you can donate, how you can get involved with the organization. And there's a learning center, which is my favorite part, with a whole bunch of information and resources. Also, check out that Amazon Smile program. What is the Amazon Smile program, Joseph? You always talk about the Amazon Smile program. What is the Amazon Smile program? Well, I'm glad you asked me, Joseph. So the Amazon Smile program is a program designed that Amazon created that actually partners with nonprofit organizations such as PAX Inc. So you go to Amazon and you look for the Amazon Smile program, you sign up for it, and you sign up with PAX Inc. because that's the organization that you want to support, right? So so when you go to purchase items from Amazon, it's going to give you the option to purchase items under the Amazon Smile mode. Bam, you turn on the Amazon Smile mode, and bam, you already know you're finna be supporting PAX Inc. So you go ahead and buy everything you was going to buy.
Word.
And then you support PAX Inc. while you buy everything that you're going to buy. And keep buying from Amazon like 4 or 5 times a week. Keep doing that because you keep supporting PAX Inc. So make sure you do that. So make sure you visit our Freedom Train website as well, www.freedomtrainradio.com, the home of all these hard-hitting podcasts. And our homeboy Enigma September is back.
He's back.
He took a month off. He got married. Congratulations. Told you about that. So he is back. Check out his latest episode. Go to our website, hit that Enigma September tab. Also, make sure you check out the Enigma September YouTube channel. And it's really going down inside. Make sure y'all check out Shelby's World Podcast. We just got through doing a live broadcast, Relationships in Real Life. Check out Shelby's World Podcast on Instagram. So _ Shelby's World Podcast. Check out Shelby's World Podcast on Facebook. Check out the Freedom Train Network on Facebook. You'll be able to see that. Also, Freedom Train Network on YouTube. Be able to check out Shelby's World. And, you know, same place you're watching this, same place you're seeing this, and same places that you will hear this podcast, Freedom Train Podcast Series, really going down in the South.
Word.
Yeah. Patrick.
What up?
Election time, dog. Your Uncle Donald Trump, man, he's sweating out there, man.
Yeah, I see him. He done lost about 30 pounds. It's good for him.
What you gonna do with your uncle, man?
I don't know, man. The family been having meetings about whether we should take him out back, give him the old yellow.
So I got a question about the Don. They don't spray tan around his eyes? Because you see how his eyes be like, elephant ashy white, and the rest of his skin be like pork and bean juice orange.
Wow, pork and bean juice orange.
So you can't tell me you ain't never think about it. You ain't never think about it. Look like he got sprayed with some pork and bean juice.
I don't know
about the pork and bean juice.
I ain't never put together pork and bean juice orange.
Next time you look at it, you're gonna be like, damn, Donald Trump do got that pork and bean juice orange.
I mean, I like Cheeto because he literally looked like a burnt Cheeto to me. Like
he I'm not saying he don't, but I'm just saying it's still also a hint of pork and bean juice orange.
But now you know when they use the spray tan, because that's, you know, I guess, I don't know. If it get in your eyes, maybe it'll burn your eyes out, or your eyes will fall out of your face or something like that.
You better use a paintbrush or something.
He need the same people that put the bronzer on the fitness competitors. He need those people to come by and fix up his tan.
Hey, speaking of that, I was at one of the figure competitions, and you know, they had the dudes and they doing that bodybuilder thing. And so it was this white dude. He had the bronzer on. He was a bald head white dude, pale bald head white dude. He bald head. He wanted the white dudes to shave everything. So dude, he in the little Speedos and he bronzed everything except like the top of his head. And so like the top of his head is like creamy, milky, mayonnaise white, while the rest of his body is just bronzed out. And I'm looking at Buddy like, you look like hell. Like somebody lied to you. I know you're trying to win this competition, but everybody can see you look fucked up, because part of this is presentation. And clearly your ass didn't get the message, because you out here looking fucked up. That's what I want to tell him. I was like, you looking fucked up tonight, bro.
Yeah, that's not what the lick is. Not what the lick is at all.
Man, he looking trash, man. But anyway, so 2020 election is upon us. First and foremost, you got a chance to get your vote on?
Yeah, I voted.
You early voted?
Yeah, I voted early.
Okay. See, I want to get this off my chest.
Go ahead.
Because a lot of you know, we talked about this, but a lot of you early voting motherfuckers. This not to all early voting motherfuckers. I'm going to lean my mic in. But this is for you early voting motherfuckers who feel like you special and you a better black person and or American because you voted early. Your motherfucking vote don't count no more or no less than my same day ass vote. You do realize that, right? So all you people who are trying to chastise others. Now, nobody did it to me personally, but it's like what came at me personally was, hey, did you vote yet? Nah, man, you better vote, man, because if you don't, you know, this and that and that. And I'm like, bruh, have you ever been to my precinct? Like, have you? It was nobody in there. I know my precinct. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been voting since I was motherfucking eligible to vote. I know how to vote. I always vote. And I'm an informed voter. And if I want to take my goddamn time to the election day, because I like voting on election day, but if I want to take my goddamn time to election day to vote, that's my motherfucking prerogative. As long as I vote, that's all that motherfucking matter, right? Because your vote don't count no more or no less than mine, because you sent your shit in early. Sit your ass down. I'm done. That shit was just crazy to me. It's just some people just like, I voted early. I'm better than you. No, you ain't, bitch. No, you ain't. Fuck your vote.
Not fuck your vote, Joseph.
That's that extra fuck your vote, bitch.
Not fuck your vote, Joseph. Oh,
pussy ass vote.
You pushed it a little bit too far on the lens.
Don't I always?
Oh, okay.
Hey, so, all right. So what are some of the biggest surprises from this election for you?
I'm looking up to think, and I realize that puts the glare on my glasses because of the lights. So, what we doing.
We see the porn.
Porn.
Porn in your glasses.
I had porn up. I honestly, I can't say that there's been any surprises this election. Like, I honestly thought it was going to be close. Mm-hmm. And we talked about this before. Like, I did feel like Biden would edge it out, but I always felt like it would be close, and I always felt like I wouldn't be surprised if Trump won again, because we know, like you say all the time, it's true. Like, when you understand what America is, and the racism and the bigotry and the narcissism and all of the other things that Donald Trump has tapped into, when you truly understand that, something like this no longer surprises you.
Right.
Right. So I can't really say that I'm surprised about anything. I will say I was very interested. I'll say this. If there was a surprise, it would be this. I found it very interesting that the Hispanic vote, and I know we're going to talk about it. We already know Trump is going to, if Trump wins, and even if he doesn't win, there's still this narrative out there that black men have been supporting Donald Trump, and that's why it's so close. Like, that narrative has already arrived.
Yeah.
That's a crazy narrative to me.
All you got to do is look at the numbers, though. But we know most people won't look at the numbers, but those right. who are smart and read, just look at the numbers.
Right. That's a crazy number to me, because damn near 90% of the black population voted for Joe Biden. So it's kind of interesting that that's a narrative. But that's neither here nor there. We might get into that a little bit later. But what I was saying was, it's been interesting to me to watch the Latino vote the way they have. Not to say that I don't understand that a lot of Hispanic people consider themselves white, and they have considered themselves white historically.
Yeah.
Not to say that there hasn't, you know, like, there isn't a strong conservative base in the Hispanic community, but it's just been interesting to see, like, all of the things that Donald Trump has done and said about immigrants, immigration, in particular, Hispanic community, and to still see them show up and vote. I think the last numbers I looked at was the tune of 30 or 40% of the Hispanic vote in some areas was going to Donald Trump. Like, that has been, I won't say unexpected, but it's been real interesting to observe.
Yeah, that is interesting. Okay, so I have this has always been my view of other non-white people. Since I was in elementary school, I've always been very observant, and I will always observe other non-white people, how they interacted with white people versus how they interacted with black people. And their preference was always white people.
Mm-hmm.
So with that in mind, I'm not surprised a large group of Hispanics would vote for Donald Trump. I'm not surprised about it. It is interesting that despite everything that has happened to, like, especially things directly happening to the Hispanic community via Donald Trump, that mm-hmm. they would still be like, well, we're going to rock with Donald Trump. But did you see that? Who put that clip up? Did you see the clip about the comedian talk about the Cubans?
Oh, yeah. I saw that. That was so, in the line group.
Yeah, so for those who don't know what I'm talking about, I can't tell you the comic's name. But he had a joke about how Cubans would come over to America, like they escaping exile or whatever. They would come over to America, and as soon as they hit the land, they're extra patriotic, and they're against others coming over. So they, like, trying to have white privilege, basically. So, you know, that it
you know what, Joe, we could play it if you want.
Go ahead, play it. I mean, I forgot you got that special shit. Go ahead, play it.
No, ain't no special shit, just sharing the screen, bro.
What?
Let me do me.
You gonna do him, but I mean, while you're doing that, I guess I'll finish. But I'm not surprised Hispanics, like a large portion of them. You said around 40%?
Yeah, last numbers I looked at was around 40%.
Okay, I'm not surprised about that. But you know, everybody who just because you have the public representations of a group of people who are outraged, don't mean the whole of the people are outraged.
Right.
You can't say that. So, real quick, the as of right now, the numbers are Joe Biden 264, Donald Trump 214. And Joe Biden really only needs Nevada to win. He needs 6 points. He needs Nevada. Nevada has six electoral votes. Of course, you know, Georgia, North Carolina, and Pennsylvania and Alaska are still up for grabs. Right now in Georgia, it's Donald Trump has a slim lead. So it's 49.7% to Donald Trump to 49% Joe Biden. So it's real, real slim. And they have, it's 98% reporting. So Donald, I do think Donald Trump will take Georgia, but it's close. But I don't think Donald Trump needs six states to win, and I don't think that's gonna happen.
It's not.
So we ain't got no sound.
You can't hear it?
Uh-uh.
Oh, that's right. We had this problem last time. Sound don't play when we share screens.
Hold on.
This platform.
Hold on, I found something. I was pressing some stuff one time. And
cause remember I had to narrate the video.
Share. Okay, share audio.
You want me to try it again?
Yeah, try it again. Hold on. I think I might have to bring it up. I don't know. Cause I got the share audio thing there, but let me, what's the name? What's the dude's name?
I don't know what his name is. The post is from Charlemagne the God though.
I don't know. But yeah, I have to, let me see. I love Cubans, cuz. Let me try to type that in. I love Cubans. Cuz.
Oh, his name is Andrew Schultz.
Oh, Andrew Schultz. Schultz, I think so. That's Charlemagne Homeboy that he do the podcast with. Oh, yeah, here you go.
Finding out if you have mood sensitivities is so important.
So, let's do the share screen again. Let's do share audio, Chrome tab. Latinos made no sense. Bam. You can hear it.
A lot of us have them.
Yeah, but it's blurry. Oh, well, that's fine. Full screen it, Joe.
Cuba's really my favorite, y'all. I love Cubans because y'all turn into conservative Republicans immediately after getting to America. Like, y'all are refugees, immigrants, and the second you get that dry foot, the second that foot dry, you're like, okay, any immigration? They said no. They said no. Hey, they said no immigration. Hey, it's too many people. It's too many people. How? Hey, we need a system. We need law. We need law. What? My foot dry. My foot dry. I'm American now. Feel it. Feel it. Touch it. Tócalo. Touch it. Okay? I cannot play domino at the table. There's too many people coming. I cannot play domino. How I play domino if everybody coming? I'm not like you. I'm dry foot. You went back. That's different. That's different. I'm dry. Son, Cubans, you good, bro? This guy about to die, son.
Yeah, but that's the clip. So So, you know, that's why. That's why I'm not surprised. You know what I'm saying? Is it interesting? Yep. I would think the number of Hispanics that would or Latinos that would vote for, well, Latinx said, right? Latinx. I thought the number would be smaller. So for it to be 40% is interesting. But, you know, like I said, just because the people who are on TV that are handpicked to represent the race are speaking against this doesn't mean the whole group of people are against that. So,
yeah. Absolutely. And I do want to draw attention to that. There was one post that I'm sure people saw when I brought up my copy of the skit on Charlamagne Tha God's wall, that right underneath that there was another video that said black men are the new swing voters. And that speaks to that narrative of saying that black men will now vote Republican in large numbers.
Well, I mean, not to cut you off, but let's just bring up these numbers. That's it. To me, that's easy. They got something called Google that they invented a while ago, like in the early 2000s. They invented this thing. It's amazing. You should try it. It's called Google, right? You literally type in what you want to know, and guess what this motherfucker do? This motherfucker tell you what it do. It tell you what you want to know. So you say, how many black men voted Republican? And it tell you. So you ain't got to be out here guessing or making up stuff. Or if you hear something, just, and you spell it G-O-O-G-L-E, and every letter is a different color. They even made it colorful for you. So, you know, it's American made too. It ain't foreign. Google ain't like no French word and nothing like that. So you can try it. But just seriously though, just Google that shit though. Don't be out here just assuming that it's black men's fault that Trump got this many votes. Like, come on, man. We know black men usually the fall guys, but we ain't taking the fall for y'all motherfuckers.
Yeah, and right now, as far as I know, there isn't any major data that's confirmed for 2020 because obviously right. The election is still going on. Yeah.
Right.
But from the things that I have looked at state to state, I don't see where, if we're talking about 80% of black men voting Democratic, that's a stretch to say that black men are swing voters or black men are responsible or anything like that. And 80% is a lowball number because I really think it's higher than that.
How many black women voted Democrat?
Black women usually are more likely to vote Democrat than black men, but the percentage points would be something like 98% of black women vote Democrat to like 93% black men vote Democrat. It'll usually be something like that to where it's like, are we really going to try to make this statement based right. off a few percentage points?
Right, right. I mean, because first of all, like, we're not obligated to vote Democrat.
Well, yeah, there is that.
Like, that's first and foremost. Like,
there is that.
Hey, well, we don't owe you motherfuckers no vote. Like, get out of here. Come on, man. Get out of here, man. So that's crazy. So, all right. So, it's four states left, or five if you count Hawaii. So, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Nevada, and Georgia. And this is according to Google. So, Georgia has 16 electoral votes, Nevada has 6, North Carolina 15, Pennsylvania has 20. And right now, Georgia has 98% of its votes counted, Nevada 75, North Carolina 94, Pennsylvania 89. Trump is up right now in Georgia, North Carolina, and Pennsylvania. But Joe Biden is up in Nevada as of right now. And basically, Joe Biden only needs 6 points to win, and Nevada is 6 electoral votes. So no matter what happens, Trump needs six states to win. And it's not, it's six states. Well, no, it's only five states available. So no matter what happens, Trump loses. Joe Biden is the new president of the United States.
Well, yeah, Trump needs to, Trump would need to win. If Trump won Nevada, if Trump won all of the states left, Nevada,
he would have to. He would have to win every one. But he'd still be like 2 points short.
No, if he won all of those states, because he would be at 268.
Right.
If he won everything but Nevada. If he wins Nevada, that gives him the six to push him over.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, when I was counting earlier, I already gave Joe Biden Nevada. Yeah, yeah, so Nevada would push him over.
Yeah, so it would be 274 to 264, something like that. 270, no, it would be 274 to 260. Yeah. Whereas, you know, if Biden wins Nevada, it's 270. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. That's done. It's nothing else Trump could do, and Trump's starting to throw his bitch fits already, saying he's gonna sue and telling people to stop counting votes and trying to say counting votes is illegal, is wrong, is all of a sudden. I thought that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, this motherfucker don't know how counting works. He's like, why are you still counting? I was winning. Why'd you keep going? Bro, like that's how elections work.
Hold on. He said that for real?
No, what he said was we were winning, we were up big, and then something happened. Something strange happened, and all of a sudden we weren't up anymore.
When was the election? When was he up big?
When everything literally first started, before they started counting the mail-in ballots and all of the other ballots. Because here's the thing you got to remember, right? Trump told all of his supporters not to do mail-in ballots. He's been telling them that pretty much since he got in office. He's been attacking mail-in ballots. So he told them, go vote in person. Don't do mail-in ballots. So he won a good chunk of the in-person votes. He won a good chunk of them. A problem came in when the mail-in ballots started coming in, because those were overwhelmingly Democrats.
Because I know from when I first started tuning in, Joe Biden was, yes, I remember Trump was up early, but he wasn't up big. What is he talking about?
He wasn't up big. He was just up. But for him, he's saying like, I was winning. And they saw I was winning, so they did something to make me not be winning anymore. And it's like, yeah, they kept counting.
So, because he wanted to stop at 35 votes.
Yeah.
That shit funny, man. That's hilarious that he said that. Now,
it's hilarious.
I got a question for people. I got a question for all the people who are Democrat, who support Democrat, who voted for Hillary Clinton. And Hillary Clinton won the popular vote. She lost the electoral vote. Everybody was saying, fuck the electoral college. Let's get rid of the electoral college. Fuck the electoral college. Let's get rid of the electoral college. Mm-hmm. So Joe Biden only needs 6 points to win the electoral vote. So with those same people, if Joe Biden win, will they still have that same hate and vitriol for the electoral college, for the electoral vote, if Joe Biden wins by the electoral vote? And by the way, both Joe Biden and Hillary Clinton knew they needed 270 electoral votes to win the presidency going into the last election. They both knew that. I don't know clearly a lot of people didn't know. But my main question is, do they still have the same energy for the electoral college if Joe Biden wins the electoral vote?
I mean, you know, people only get mad when things don't go their way. As we're looking at it right now, Joe Biden is up by almost 4 million votes in the popular vote. So if he does lose the Electoral College, you're going to see a lot of smoke. And if the thing, if roles were reversed, like you said, and Donald Trump was up by 4 million votes, but Joe Biden won the Electoral College, it would be the exact opposite. Democrats would be losing, they would be telling the Republicans, that's just how the system works.
Right, yeah. Right.
And right. Republicans would be losing their shit.
Right. That's what, that's, because well, in this case, because Donald Trump is not up in the popular vote, it won't be that same argument. But the thing is, people are literally sitting here. We're not paying attention to the popular vote. We never sit and pay attention to the popular vote when elections happen. Never. We always pay attention to the electoral votes. But somehow, because Hillary Clinton lost the electoral votes last time, people lost their shit. And we needed to get rid of the Electoral College immediately. But I guess this shit worked right this time, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you know, my thing with that is on this tip, right? I really don't like that they even show the popular vote nationally. Like, because it doesn't matter, and all it does is distract people from what's really going on. It's one of those useless stats that creates more problems than it solves. You should only really be displaying the popular vote when it comes to the states. If you're looking specifically at Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, blah, 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 go ahead and display the popular vote because it matters there. But displaying it in the sense of this is how many total Americans voted for this person versus this person, that's literally asking for people to lose faith in the election, in the election process. And all of the candidates know that this is the rules that like you said, they all know that this is how this shit works. None of them go in blind thinking that that's not how this shit works. Right. That was my beef with Bernie Sanders when all of a sudden he found out during the campaign that independent voters couldn't vote in primary elections. And he was like, that's not right. Man, you've been in office for 30 years. You can't tell me, and you were an independent party candidate at one point. You can't tell me you didn't know that independent voters can't vote in primary elections. Like, I've been a independent voter my entire adult life, and that comes with the understanding that I can't vote in primary elections. I can't.
Motherfuckers be getting real brand new.
Yeah, like, so in some places they have open elections, but I'm gonna be honest. As an independent voter that looks at the system and understands how it's supposed to work, I don't have a problem with not being able to vote in primary elections. As an independent voter, I shouldn't be able to determine who the Democratic Party wants to push forward as their candidate. That Democrats should make that decision.
Yeah.
I don't have a play in that. Same with Republicans. They should be able to determine who's going to represent their party.
I mean, that's the whole purpose of you getting the choice, keyword choice, to pick whether you want to represent a specific party or be nonpartisan. You get right. a choice. You get right. that choice. So don't get brand new onus. And that's my whole thing in saying this. And that's what I was thinking about yesterday. You know, because I put that question in the group chat. Because I got into a lot of debates with people about that. I remember like one big on FAMU campus, like one big debate about that's when I had called you. Mm-hmm. And it was like, man, they tripping. But it was like the whole thing, man, that's not right. It's not right. If you win the popular vote, you should win the presidency. But that's not how this shit worked.
It's never worked like that.
It's not. Like, well, they need to get rid of the Electoral College. If you get rid of the Electoral College, most of the states' votes don't count.
Pretty much. And I mean, let's be, like, because you got to understand, like, votes in this country are blocked. They're blocked by states. And I think a lot of people don't understand what the United States is. Like, it's in the name, United States. We have a lot in common with the European Union. I'm not saying they're the same, but we have a lot in common with the European Union in that the United States nationally, the federal government is a broad body that unites a bunch of smaller, potentially independent groups together. Every state is its own block. Right. Like, and that's why I said there are a lot of similarities between the United States and the European Union.
Every state has its own constitution.
Every state. So, but people get it, like, they think, like even, and I'll go further on my comparisons to the European. In the European Union, all members of the EU, even though those are all separate nations, they have citizens of one country in the EU, has citizenship in the EU, so they can travel throughout every country in the EU free. There's one form of currency for all of the countries in the EU. There's an overall structure to how the countries exist that's governed by the agreement they've made to be in the EU. The United States is no different. How you move, you can move from state to state freely because all of the states agree to be a part of this larger body called the United States. Like, that's like civics 101.
Hey, well, see now you expect the people to come to this bitch prepared. Come on, Pat. Did you go to college, Pat?
I did, but not for civics or political science.
See, did you take part in the voting for like the different offices on campus? For like the student government positions and stuff.
But you
witnessed the festivities and everything.
Yeah, because those were true blue popularity contests.
Say it again.
Yeah, those were 100% tried and true popularity contests.
So, but think about it. Throughout all the student government, the elementary school, middle school, high school, college, it's all popularity contests. So we've been trained our whole life to vote off popularity.
That's true. And that, though, because you're right, I have participated in some student body government associations on like the lower level, not in college. And it is a popularity contest. There's nothing, at least in the groups that I was in, there was nothing in those groups that directly represented or simulated what actually happens
right.
in the American presidential election right. process.
No real civics, no real understanding of, like, unless you're a person who, like, if you're in college and you actually take civics courses, or you're in a specific high school or middle school where civics is offered and you actually take it or it's taught. If don't nobody teach you that and you train to vote off popularity, that's how you vote. You vote off popularity until you make the choice to make the change yourself to vote the issues, not popularity. So here we are. I mean, that's, think about it, Pat. It's like between 4 to 6 people overall that was running for president, but we only concentrate on 2.
Yeah.
But why?
Those are the two that we feel have the most realistic chance of winning.
Based off of popularity. Because
based off popularity.
You know, people have to understand it's the marketing vehicles. The system is designed to only market and promote the Democratic and the Republican Party. It's literally designed that way. That's by the, I'm not talking like by chance, but by design, the system is literally created to only promote Republican and Democrat. Think about it. The two most, they're popular by design. And people only hone in on Republican and Democrat. Think about it.
So. Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely not disagreeing with you. I just, you know, like, we get back to this thing about this election. People need to understand that, you know, your voting is a block with everybody else in your state. Like, that's how that works when it comes to the presidential election. That's what's happening. So it doesn't matter how people in other states voted with regards to your state. It doesn't. Like, if more people in your state vote Republican then Democrat,
then your state.
state is Republican, and that Republican candidate gets all of those Republican electors. Now, I do think if we want to talk about things that could be changed in the Electoral College, I do think if they created a proportional system instead of a winner-take-all system, that might be more demonstrative of, like, the will of the popular vote. But even looking at that, even if they had something like that last year when Hillary Clinton lost, she still would have lost. She would have picked up, like, 9 more Electoral College votes.
She got whooped, though.
But she still would have lost. So, but at the end of the day, like I said, I like the idea of each state having its own personal identity. If you don't like the identity of your state, you're free to move. Or you're free to invite more people that share your identity to your state to try to flip it. I like that. I don't like the idea of a purely popular vote presidential election. I do not like that idea. Not only are we talking about vast majorities of the country not being paid attention to during campaign time, but we're also talking about a potential where more demigods can arrive. Like, because everybody's going, most people are going into the election, from what I can see, very emotional.
Well, yeah. And I want to give examples of 2 points that you made. One about the point that you're talking about, if the majority of the state votes one way, then that's what the state is. And 2, about small areas being ignored during elections, especially if you take away the Electoral College or you change the system, right? So Jill Biden came to Tallahassee, came here this past weekend. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't get no fuck. But she came. But the fact that Obama's first go around, Michelle came. Joe Biden, because Joe Biden has come here before. Joe Biden actually came here last election. Obama's run for second term, Joe Biden came here. And this time, Jill Biden comes. So Tallahassee is a spot that the Democrats know. So with that being said, Tallahassee is Leon County. So you got Leon County and Gaston County. Gaston County is always going to be Democrat, because Gaston County is Florida's only black county. So Gaston County, Leon County are Democratic. Duval County, Jacksonville is Democratic. Orange County, Orlando is Democratic. Tampa is Hillsborough County is Democratic. Broward County, Democratic. Dade County, Democratic. And Alachua County is Democratic. Everything else, and I literally mean everything else, including Key West, red. It's all red. So, I mean, when you like most, if you go look at the maps, most of these states that are red, the big cities that we normally talk about are mostly blue. Houston and Texas, Houston is blue. Hell, surprisingly, Austin is blue. I'm surprised Austin blue, but I'm not surprised Houston and Dallas would be. So. I
think people need to think, and then too, like my other big point with that is, if we move to a purely popular vote election, I keep saying it, like, and I hope it resonates more now because of the fact that black people are seeing what we're seeing, and hopefully people are paying attention to the fact that America is still very much a racist country. But in a situation where black people are only 12 to 14% of the population, why would you want to put yourself in a position to where your vote can be overpowered by anybody? Like, I don't want to get into a space where my vote, I mean, I know a lot of black people don't believe your vote counts anyways. You know, I'm not interested in getting into that right now. That's a show for another day, in my opinion. But the fact of the matter is, you want to talk about votes not counting? Your shit really ain't going to count if it's purely popular vote. And they don't even have to fucking campaign to you, because you only make up 20 million votes in a country that has 200 million votes available. Like, I don't even have to fucking look your way at this point. Like, fuck you straight up. Read between the lines. What?
Hey, man, you know, I thought you was sticking that up somebody. Nah, I like three fingers. I was my mind that like, damn, they're taking three fingers.
Nah, it's three fingers. Okay. Okay,
read between the lines.
Nah, this is okay. Read between the lines.
Excuse me. All right, my bad. I literally get paid to talk about sex, so my mind is always in the gutter. So.
Nah, but I think it's real. Like that's, I mean, it could be give you three fingers up the ass, because that basically, like, why would you? That's basically what would be happening. Like, why would you ask to put yourself at even more of a handicap? And I like, to me, just thinking about what America is and how America would run with that popular thing, that popular vote narrative or whatever, like, it wouldn't be long before politicians just started focusing on white people and the second largest demographic.
Hispanics.
Right. And so, everybody else would be ignored.
So I just thought about something. I earlier asked you and I was going to answer for myself the biggest surprise. I do have a big surprise. I just thought about it. I just remembered my big surprise. And it's not, I'm surprised that people are surprised that the race is as close as it is.
Oh, yeah.
I'm surprised that people are surprised that racism is alive and well in America. I'm surprised that people are surprised still, after everything that has happened the last 12 years in America dealing with black and white relations, you really didn't expect this many racist motherfuckers in the United States of America? Like, you really didn't expect that? You really thought the number of races dwindled?
Mm-hmm.
You thought the races was not going to show up so Donald Trump can win again and they can feel like they're still empowered?
Mm-hmm.
What's happening with the Senate? Oh, shit. So the Senate, and that's important too. The Senate race is 46-48. The Republicans up.
Yeah. Because the Democrats didn't see the types of inroads in the Senate that they thought they would.
I see. But see, it would be interesting. I ain't gonna lie. I was like, it would be interesting to see what happens if either Donald Trump is president and you have a blue Senate and a House, or if Joe Biden is president with a blue Senate and a House. I did think that would be interesting.
Yeah, it looks like Joe Biden's going to win, and he's probably going to have a very disruptive Senate.
Yeah.
With Mitch McConnell at the head again. And I'm not saying there isn't an opportunity for, you know, another party or for these, because there's still an opportunity for the Democrats to pick up a majority. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the Senate hasn't flipped nearly as much as they thought it would. And the House hasn't flipped nearly as much as they were hoping it would either. Yeah. So the Republican Party has picked up 6 seats. The Democratic Party has lost 5 seats in the House. But again, that speaks to that Republican base being pulled out, and how many of them, you know, even the ones that don't necessarily approve of Donald Trump, still approve of the way their local electors, their local politicians are handling business.
They still down with the overall plan. They may not like, man, Trump out here making us look bad, but we still got to, we still politics as usual though.
Yeah, like, right. 100%.
Like we ain't losing money. This motherfucker just tripping though. He's stupid.
100%. In my opinion, what you're saying is not a repudiation, to use a word they like to use on TV.
It's not a
repudiation of Donald Trump or of the entire Republican Party. It's specifically a message to Donald Trump. Specifically. They like the Republican Party the way it is, the way Trump has reshaped it. They like it. They don't like him.
Yeah, because he's uncouth. And he is. I mean,
another old timey word. Uncouth.
I mean, that's to me, that's like one of the best words to describe him. Because he is. Trump has no decorum. Trump has no chill.
Absolutely.
And so the world right now, the world sees how fucked up America is. The world has been seeing how fucked up America is again. Now, and I say again, because this is not the first time the world has seen America. So the world is lying as well. The world acting like it didn't see what happened in the 60s, like they didn't get the newspaper clips. Because hell, if we got the newspaper shit about what was going on in Germany in World War II, you don't think they got the newspaper shit about what was going on in America in the 1960s? Hell, they even alluded to it in the movie Selma, how the world was able to see what was going on in America. So don't let the goddamn world fool you like this their first time. Oh my God, I didn't know this was going on in America. No, individual person, your ass may not know, but the world knew. Right. So but the world is once again getting a chance for the last 12 years, getting a chance to see what's going on in America. But Donald Trump shined up. Donald Trump shined a big fucked up light on America. Mm-hmm. And then fucking social media and all these goddamn independent videos being recorded and going out all over the world. And then what happened with George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, everybody else. It's like in the midst of this COVID supposed the new civil rights movement, supposed, but it's on display now. But it's like, I know black people like, bitch, this shit every day. This shit ain't only for black people. The only thing different is COVID.
Yeah. I think COVID, I honestly think Donald Trump would have got away with, a lot of the stuff he did to the black community because it wasn't publicized. Like the negative aspects of what was happening in the community outside of the flare-ups when the police killed somebody, like the other things he was doing, like kicking people off of government aid programs, are the stepping up of gentrification, are the okaying of SBA rejecting black loaners, or even, you know, the supporting of banks that were rejecting black people getting money at a higher clip. All of those other little racist things that would happen structurally and systemically that he supported, it wasn't really getting highlighted because we kept hearing about the shit that he was saying out of his mouth, which was crazy. So a lot of black people were under the impression that Trump really ain't doing much to us outside of talking crazy. When you really look at it, and it's like, nah, he was doing a lot. He just wasn't doing new shit. He stepped up the shit that was already happening. He just stepped it up and did it at a more aggressive clip.
Shit's getting dismantled right in front of your eyes.
Like, right.
Man, motherfuckers been working hard to dismantle the Constitution for a while.
But civil liberties,
human rights, all those things, lesson.
Right. All of that shit was getting dismantled.
See, Obama was doing shit like that.
Right. But what Trump was doing was stepping it up a notch. Even with the whole environmental shit. Like I'll give Obama credit for some things. Like, he could have said more. He could have done more. Yes, he could have. But he did slow some things down. Now, did he stop anything that I feel like he could have stopped or could have really pushed to stop? No, he didn't. And that's why I don't give Obama too much whatever. Now, I don't give him a lot of flack.
Right.
I don't give him a lot of love either.
But it's like things have been passed that will affect especially the civil liberties of Americans, especially black people. I said Obama like that because I want to give people a frame of reference. Like, Trump isn't, like you said, Trump isn't doing anything new.
Right.
He's just being aggressive. Presidents before him have done things like that. Presidents before Obama have done things like that.
And now that we mentioned Obama, we do got to put, look, I understand that Obama was working with a hostile Congress. I get that. And I get that in a lot of regards, he did what he could through executive orders, which is why Trump was able to come in and undo all that shit. I get all that. We're not saying that we don't understand that. What we're saying is, in terms of using his bully pulpit to be a bully and to really bring light to issues, he could have done a better job about doing that. When it comes to really forcing political issues that really affect black people, he could have done a better job about doing things like that. And I don't think that's unfair or disparaging to say.
Well, nah. I mean, like, you see what's going on with black people and you pass laws that give more protection to the police, the people who are doing it to black people. And we sitting like, because for black people, we saw, once again, we saw Obama, like I just said, do pass laws to protect police officers, pass laws to give the LGBTQ community right to marry, and pass laws to help improve conditions and help protect immigrants. And black people like, man, we sitting over here literally getting killed and we ain't getting shit. And then on the other end, you have black elite, black bourgeois, black conscious people, other black people who have, who went to the Obama administration or tried to go to the Obama administration with agendas and plans to help things for black people who were blatantly ignored. So those things can't be overlooked.
Right. And then we move on to the Trump administration, where not only has he stepped up gentrification with these opportunity zones, not only has he removed people off government aid and tried to make it a spin as if these people were doing better in life, and that's why people are doing so much better, that's why we moved them off. No, you kicked them off because you raised the requirements to be on. You know, when we're talking about the like I said before, the Small Business Association issues, the banking issues, the policing issues, the environmental issues, all of the deregulations in terms of power plants and environmental things that the EPA had put in place, the gutting of the consumer finance industry agency, the gutting of the EPA, the gutting of the CDC, the gutting of the pandemic response team. That would have been helpful right about now, don't you think?
So do you think Joe Biden will repair all those things that happened?
No, I don't. I honestly, if we're being totally honest, this has been a long game. And I did a show on this when we were on Lessons from the Screen.
A long game.
I did Lessons from the Screen. I did a show on it. On the end game, talking about how the Republican Party was building up to all of this stuff. This has been in the works. Joe Biden can't undo all of this. The only reason Obama was able to do as much as he did was because the Republicans made Barack Obama do so much through executive order. So President Obama could come in through an executive order and undo all of the shit. But what has happened during this term, is there were actually laws passed and policies put in place, things that are going to take time and are going to take government restructuring to undo.
Yeah.
Joe Biden, most presidents are most effective in their first 100 days. That's why they track it. That's when they had the most traction. It's when they had the most energy and enthusiasm. There's just not enough time for Joe Biden to try to undo. You think about all of the agreements that Trump has pulled out of. The peace, various peace accords, various environmental agencies, you know, what type of hostile situations he's arranged with other foreign governments, China being one, most of our allies. Trump has done so much in these last 4 years because he's had Congress supporting him. I don't think Biden's going to be able to undo it all. But more significantly for me is that the point I was getting at earlier, actually not going to say more significantly, is that I think COVID, when COVID hit, it made it so that black people had to sit up and pay attention to what was actually happening. Because now you can just say the economy, the economy, the economy. Now it's like, no, black people are actually dying. They're like getting permanently sick. Like some of these people catching COVID, they're not ever going to be 100% again. Like they're sick for the rest of their lives. They're going to have a cough. They're going to have limited breathing capacity, lung capacity. You know, they're going to have these issues for the rest of their lives is what they're saying. So it kind of shone a light on that. Then black businesses, like 40%, last numbers I was reading, I think 40% of black businesses are gone because of COVID. Just like gone because of COVID. You're talking about, and this was preventable. Like everybody saying nobody could have predicted COVID. Bullshit.
So, okay. Yeah, because once again, we knew about it in January. So they knew about it before we did. So right. It could have been prevented better. Trump done dropped the ball. Having a pandemic task force in place would have helped. So let me ask this question. Joe Biden, look like Joe Biden gonna be the president. Yeah. Moving forward, because the COVID damage has been done, but are better COVID plans put in place once Joe Biden becomes president? He's in office. Do you believe better COVID plans are put in place and COVID could be controlled better, or are we too far into this bitch and they just got to try to ride it out?
I think it depends on what happens with Congress. Like, if a Republican Congress remains in control, if a Republicans remain in control of the Senate, Joe Biden's going to have a tough sled, period. And not just Joe Biden, the Democrats in the House are going to have a tough time going because, you know, stuff got to pass through both branches. It's got to pass through both levels, the House and the Senate. I think more would be done in terms of the seriousness and in terms of trying to, because he does still have, whoever the president is, would have emergency powers to do things because we're still in a state of national emergency, a declaration of a national emergency. So he would have powers to do things. So like people being put on lockdown, that probably very well may happen. Another lockdown occurring where businesses are shut down, schools are shut down. That might very well happen. It's happening in Europe right now. Those things might happen, but in terms of like the black community itself, anything happening that's going to restore that? No, because here's the thing. Like, I read through Joe Biden's plan. I'm still doing my review of it on Lessons from the Screen. We stopped because we wasn't sure if he was going to win or not. I didn't want to waste my time on looking at a plan if he wasn't going to win.
Well, guess what? You ain't got to peruse that damn platinum plan no more.
Not well, the platinum plan, that was half an episode. I talked about three things in the same show that I talked about the platinum plan, and my show is only 30 minutes.
Notice I used the word peruse.
Yeah. That goddamn, what'd you call it, an infographic? Like, it's an infographic. Been saying it ever since you said it to me, like this goddamn infographic. But I've been perusing, or I've been going over and analyzing the Lift Every Voice plan. It's probably one of the best plans I've seen for black Americans in a long time.
Well, my biggest problem with that is when it comes to the action plans, the language changes from African Americans to minorities.
Right.
All those things. That's my biggest issue with that.
That's exactly what I was finna get at. While it is one of the best plans for black people that I've seen in a long time, and I'm not somebody with decades in, I've been looking at these plans for black Americans for probably the last 10 years maybe. So there are people out there 20, 30, 40 years experience. They could probably shed light that I don't know about. But this is probably one of the best plans I've seen in a long time for the black community, but it's not for the black community.
It's for America.
Right. It's for minorities, it's for veterans, and it's for low and middle income individuals.
So basically, it's for everybody who is not a straight white Protestant male.
Pretty much. Actually, you know, we could even go further and say it's for everybody that's basically not a white man, period. Like gender and all of that. Like,
well, because a gay white male would be considered a minority and all those other things.
Yeah, but they don't in this particular.
But they can't turn it off. They can, you know, hey, I'm not going to.
Yeah, in this particular plan, it looks like the focus is more on ethnic minorities, women, veterans, and people that are low to middle income. So this gender thing, the sex thing, doesn't seem to apply.
But that'd be my issues. Like, don't say I got a plan for black people, especially when we did mix our words. Words were not mixed. So a specific plan for black people was asked for, and they gave us a minority plan. Both. Trump did it, Biden did it, even Cube did it.
Well, yeah, and that's why I said this is one of the best plans I've seen for black people, but let's be clear about what it is. And even during the podcast, I bring that up regularly. This is a plan for black people. I mean, it even said, like, you type in joebiden.com/blackamerica. That's how you get to the plan. /blackamerica. But there's nothing in there that I've read thus far through the review of it that is specifically designed for Black Americans. So in saying all that, I read through the plan and I'm like, yeah, some of this stuff, rising tide lifts all boats. And I love my analogy. The black boat has a goddamn hole in it. It's anchored to the goddamn floor. So we got some things we need to look at before we start talking about raising the water level. But it's not going to be like this grand ill. So even those people that are this grand fix, so even those people that are excited to have Trump out of office, I'm kind of like, please don't start celebrating and think you're done. We got more work to do. Like, Joe Biden getting in office may slow things back down. May slow things back down. But we still got the same amount of work to do regardless.
Well, see, that's what I was going to ask anyway. Like, are black people going to go back to sleep because Biden is president now? Do we think racism is over? Do we think we've hit another post-racial gap? Do we think police brutality would go down? Do we think all the issues are fixed because Joe Biden is president?
God, I hope not. And if I'm being fair, most of the black people that I'm talking to and that I'm reading on social media, they don't think that. Like, they don't think that Joe Biden is going to fix stuff. I say most. I've read some that are basically treating him like the great white hope. But most of the people seem to really understand that, nah, this is just about, like getting Trump out of office and sending a message. Now, I'm be honest, you know me, Joe. I don't care a whole lot about messages. I really don't. Like, I'd rather get some shit done. Trump is one of those people where I'm like, I understand why you feel that way, and I don't necessarily even disagree with you. I just want you to add some substance to it. Don't just send a message and then be like, that's it. Nah, do something else.
I mean, yeah, like, my community. So that's when we start to look at local elections. I hope everybody took their local elections just as serious as they took the presidential election. Because, you know, on our ballots. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say this about your particular city. And, you know, like, you're in Tallahassee, Florida. I'm here in Charlotte, North Carolina. But in your city, it seems like a lot of people took that minimum wage thing seriously. Because a lot of my friends in Tallahassee have been talking heavy about that. It seems, I was surprised by how many people disagreed with raising the minimum wage.
Because the language. So, and that's what I was just about to talk about. So the first thing on the ballot, first thing you saw was the presidential thing. So I filled that out last, but it went through the commissioners and other things like that, talking about homestead property acts and property tax and stuff like that. But with the minimum wage, it was about, okay, so if y'all want us to raise the minimum wage, it's going to be another tax created. Duh. And so for a lot of people, they had a problem with that because their thing was, they just read more taxes and they just registered, hell no, I don't want more taxes. We can't have more taxes. Fuck the minimum wage people. Because hell, they broke ass and had a minimum wage job anyway. It's like, well, you do realize, hell, there's some people with PhDs with minimum wage jobs. Mm-hmm. Like, circumstances be circumstances a lot of times. Like, everything ain't always on a up and coming. So I think that's how a lot of people are coming at the minimum wage thing, because they saw the tax bracket, the new tax category that needs to be created for this minimum wage to be raised. And they're like, nah, man, you ain't raising my taxes.
And it's, yeah, I'm seeing a lot of people were like making the whole lazy comment. You know, why should I have to pay more because you lazy? A lot of people, why should I have to pay more because you decided not to go and be qualified? And then I heard a lot of the business arguments of, you know, well, if they raise the minimum wage and companies can't afford to pay it, or they're going to raise the minimum wage and then they're going to raise, companies are going to raise the prices so that, you know, that extra output that they have to give towards wages and salaries is going to be passed down to the consumer. I'm seeing a lot of stuff like that, and I'm just kind of like, huh. Those sound like very conservative type arguments. Instead of really looking at the situation. And I'll save my analysis on minimum wage and blah blah blah, but I was just saying that to say it does seem like a lot of people where you are were really big into paying attention to the,
'cause like I say, they and that's a surprise how many people read the whole thing. So but you know, that's not here nor there though. But they read that tax increase and was like, nah, I ain't rocking with no tax increase. But shout out to the young lady here, Tiffany Baker. She won her judge seat. Don't get me the line saying exactly what she won, but she won. So shout out to her. It was a lady, she's a lawyer, Carolyn Cummings. She won the commissioner seat over a lady named Kelly Oddy. Curtis Richardson won again. That's all I can remember off the top of my head. But saying all that, because the local vote, your local voting matters more than the presidential vote. So no matter who is the president, if your local stuff and your state stuff is together, you know, you can counteract that.
That goes back to civics, right? And checks and balances and stuff. If the federal government is fucking up, the state government can get in the way of that. Likewise, if the state government is fucking up, the federal government can get in the way of that. But, you know, what people got to understand is that local elections are more likely to affect you as an individual. National and federal elections are more likely to affect us as a collective, as a people. So if you are somebody that only cares about what's going on with you, then you definitely need to be paying attention to your local elections. You shouldn't be concerned about the president, not to the extent of that it's getting in the way of your research on your local elections. And if you truly are a black person that cares about what's going on for black people everywhere, and you can't be informed about something that's happening all over the country, then you need to pay attention to what's happening on the larger stage. Because one of the most powerful things that the president can do is the appointments that they make. Donald Trump has appointed roughly 25% of the judges in the Justice Department. That's going to have a lasting effect. Most of those are lifetime appointments. That's going to have a lasting impact. And it's one of the reasons why I say you should pay attention to who is sitting in that seat, because you might be at some point, through fault of your own or not, sitting in front of a judge that was put there by that person. You might want to pay attention to that. We all see what's happening right now with the housing agency under Ben Carson.
His dumb ass.
We see what's happening with the education department under Betsy DeVos. Her dumb ass. You know,
that's stupid.
Like, pay attention to these things, because these things matter.
Those things are changing, because there's going to be a changing of the guard. So we know those things will be changing in the future. But for black people, this is not our victory.
It's not. I don't think
Democratic victory.
Yeah, this is Democratic victory.
I'm still in the school of thought of our highest priority needs to be us building our own table and doing for self.
Absolutely.
Taking care of ourselves, whatever it is you need to do, whatever. Like, I know for me personally, I'm incorporating, I'm learning new strategies, new things to help bring more revenue to my business. Of course, you know, we're doing our best to grow this podcast. I'm learning more about trading and doing my investments and things. So get myself to a point to where I can financially make an impact in my community, but also teach others how to make those financially, how to change their financial situation so they can make an impact in their community, because we need tangible things happening. And everybody don't have to do it the way I'm doing it. That's just the way I want to do it.
Right.
So
no, you do you.
But we need tangible stuff, and voting is cool. But now, Biden is president. Biden gonna be president. How do we hold him accountable? So with the Lift Every Voice and Sing plan. All right.
You just add the end scene part on it.
I've been calling that shit for the longest, man. No.
Lift Every Voice and Sing.
But all right, how do we ensure that Black people can get the most out of that plan, since it's constructed off of our plight?
I mean, here's the thing, right? Once he gets in office, he didn't promise us anything, so there's nothing to hold him accountable for. Now, what we can do is hold referendums on what local politicians are doing. We can blow the bullhorn and talk shit. But what I would have loved to see a lot of these plans do is to see them demand that new and powerful positions be created and filled with Black people of a certain quality and a certain standard.
Hopefully. Biden is going to make better decisions. Trump was making decisions. Trump was putting people in place that he knew was going to suck his dick.
Right. But what I'm saying is we have to be the ones that determine what the quality and what the standard is. Like,
right.
We have to be the ones to say, I want somebody in this position. This is a position appointed by you. I want you to appoint somebody for this position that has this amount of years doing this type of community work.
What has
this sort of track record?
You know
what I'm saying? Like that. Go ahead.
Man, this motherfucker put a brain surgeon over Hood.
Yeah. And he did it to make Black people happy. Look, I gave you a nigga.
Like, this is my
nigga,
African.
I gave you a nigga.
I told y'all African Americans I was going to do more than Obama. And I did. In 4 years, I did more for you all than Obama did in 8. That's gonna be one of his claim to fame.
Oh, he's already made that claim. He's already made that speech repeatedly.
He's
done more for Black people than any president since Abraham Lincoln.
Even though I want people to be clear, he hasn't done anything for us.
No, he hasn't.
Trump had meetings with Black people, and he helped one Black person get out of prison.
Yeah, and we could probably have a show on the legacy of Donald Trump. Matter of fact, I might on Lessons from the Screen, because that's something where I'm like, yo, if you really sit back and pay attention to what Donald Trump has done, especially if you add in this COVID shit, what's happening right now with COVID, this has been one of the most destructive presidencies for Black people in the last few decades, even with Bill Clinton being included in the 94 crime bill. This presidency has been more destructive than that. But it's quietly destructive. Like, it's one of those things, like, and we think about it, right? When the 94 crime bill happened, nobody was calling that a bad thing when it happened. There were a few people, but the vast majority of the community celebrated. It didn't become a bad thing until a decade later, when people sat back and looked back and was like, oh, shit, look at this. Like, And the crime bill could be another show all on its own. I'm sure I would lose a lot of friends, family, supporters, and everything else if I gave my breakdown of that. I'm not saying it's a good thing, but I am saying that a lot of y'all is rewriting history a little bit. But that being said, this presidency, I think we're going to look back at this presidency in 10 years and be like, yo, Donald Trump really fucked us up. And all of those Black people that voted for him are going to be like, yeah, he did. I was trying to tell Black people, I ain't vote for him, no, because voting don't, and I'm be like, nah, yeah, are you serious right now?
I mean, but even in that, people got to stop telling people that they got to shut the fuck up, and now I have no opinion just because they don't vote.
Yeah, I don't agree.
You don't say that when you benefit from their tax money.
Yeah.
As long as my taxes make a difference in here. I can talk. And as long as I got a mouth, I can talk. People can criticize. People are
entitled to have an opinion. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. But it's Donald Trump's legacy will not be good once people really look at it. Once the glitz and the glamour wear off, you're still going to have your pockets of black people who are stout Republicans, stout Donald Trump supporters. We seen the motherfuckers. They, whatever, let them stay over there where they at. But
right.
looking back at it, people going to realize that, damn, we fucked up. Like even the ones who supporting Donald Trump for selfish reasons going to realize overall, like for us, yeah, we made bad decisions. Hispanics going to realize we made bad decisions.
Yeah. So, but moving forward, my thoughts on, like you said, how do we hold Biden accountable? I think we got to get involved. We got to get more involved in politics. And I know there's a large section of black people out there that are like, fuck politics. Politics is one of them things that either you play it or it's going to play you. You can't not participate. That's not how this shit works.
Well, we have the black community really has no relationship with the black caucus or any of these other
black. That's got to be repaired. That's got to be repaired.
But even some of the other black organizations that are centered around politics, like there's no real relationship with the black community. It may have relationships in different places and different pockets, but the black community overall, if you're going to represent the black community overall, you need to do your best to have a presence or some type of relationship with black community in the broad sense.
But I think, and that's a powerful point that I think more political black organizations need to tie into, because the black community in mass is very cynical and sarcastic when it comes to politics. We don't believe in it, we don't support it, and we don't believe that it's going to bear any real fruit in mass. There are a lot of large pockets of black people that think that politics is the answer. And yeah. I think both sides are kind of wrong. Politics in its current form is not the answer because black people don't participate enough. And
well,
go ahead.
I mean, if politics was the answer, things could have been better under Obama. Conditions got worse for black people.
Right.
Under Obama overall in America.
Right. But the reason why things got worse is because we never fully committed to participating in politics. We voted for Obama and then we chilled the fuck out. Like, I don't give a fuck who you vote for. If we're being totally honest, there's a bunch of different ways that you could be politically engaged. A bunch of them. And if all you do is vote, in my opinion, you're not too much better than the person that don't vote at all.
Well, once again, that's why I think the focus should always be on us building for us and us protecting what we build.
It has to be. But there's a political component to building and protection that I think needs to be expanded on. Because in order for you to protect what you build, you have to make certain political decisions about how you're going to build it and how you're going to protect it. You know what I'm saying? So, like, if we really break it down, I didn't lean back and everything. I'm getting comfortable. I know we got to wrap up soon.
Yeah.
If we really break it down, though, politics is the activities this is the dictionary. I'm looking at it right now. The activities associated with the governance of a country or other area. It's basically how you manage and utilize power. That is what politics is. You cannot not participate in the management and utilization of power and expect to maintain power or to build power. You have to be involved in the shaping and use of power in order to have a power base. So even if we don't want to participate in the American government politics,
you need to be able to influence it.
Right. You need to be able to influence it to some extent, and you still need to be able to shape the politics of your community, which requires influencing American government politics. We have to get serious. We can't be cynical anymore about politics. We got to look at it for what it is. And we got to understand that the reason why it's not working for us is because we're not utilizing it properly.
Well, if you don't like the gentrification that's happening, if you don't like a lot of things that's happening on a local level that come from elected officials or government officials, city officials who are putting these political positions, that's where having that inside pressure of voting and the outside pressure of unity and coming together as a power base to happen.
Mm-hmm. You need
and if you don't have those, because one without the other don't work.
It doesn't. And we're seeing that now.
So an example, black man gets elected mayor of a town. White people don't like that shit. White people say, well, we didn't outvote this nigger, but we can go to this nigger's house and drag him out of his house and kill him. Black man get wind of it. Black man and his family got to leave town, never come back. White person becomes mayor. Power, external and internal power. Now, of course, black people, we won't take it to that extreme, but what we can do is, all right, Buddy got voted in, Buddy ain't doing the job. We know we put him in. We got a power base. We got a block base of enough people to put people in and to take people out. Buddy don't do what they're supposed to do. Everybody do their signatures or do whatever you need to do with your specific place, bam, get that person out. Or let them know, hey man, these new elections coming up. And when these new elections coming up, you're gonna have to kiss it goodbye. And we know where you live. So I mean,
politics, absolutely. Politics is a means of legitimizing the current state of affairs.
Yeah.
If we want to boil it down, if you made $1 million off of some illegal shit, but you got the political power to make it legal, you just made $1 million. You know what I'm saying? If you hold a particular belief that people should be treated a certain way, but it's illegal to do that, and you politically make it legal, you can now treat people however you want to treat them. Like, we play these games, we understand what politics is. We just don't want to participate. And in my opinion, I know this is going to piss people off, make people mad, but in my opinion, y'all don't want to participate because you're lazy and you're scared.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I agree. I mean, they don't want to ruffle white. We can't show them that we are what they say we are. Nah. So fighting back and standing up for yourself is being whatever they, and who cares about what white people say? White people step on us because they don't respect us because we don't respect ourselves.
Right. And even if we take it a step further, cause I think even if we did respect ourselves, they would disrespect us. But I get what you're saying.
But like their level of, they would have a lot more respect. They would still oppress.
They would think a little bit harder about what they do.
Right. So because certain groups, like, they gonna think twice before they do certain things to a Chinese person because they got a whole fucking nation backing.
Right.
So they're not gonna go to these Chinatowns doing these things because now you might have to deal with China for real. So it's like we better than y'all, but you know, y'all ain't got to call your homeboys though.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me it's always been interesting because people would be like, voting don't matter, voting don't matter, voting don't matter. And I'd be like, voting take 5 minutes. Like, even if it don't matter, you can't say where there's any harm in doing it. But I mean, can list out a bunch of different reasons why it might be beneficial to go do it. Now, and I'm just talking on the show because in my personal circle, I don't ask people if they voted or not. Like, that's your business. Like, it doesn't matter to me.
Yeah. It's not my business if you voted or who you voted for.
Right.
I just hope you are a part of the process of making things better in your community. And if you are not,
yeah, I'm not going to tell you. Right, because I think a good chunk of my friends don't participate in the political process. And I'm cool with that. Hey, that's on you. Honestly, most of them don't follow politics anyways. And my stance is, if you don't follow politics, you shouldn't be voting.
I'm probably the only one in this goddamn neighborhood who voted. Dead serious. I'm dead serious.
But hey, it's cool. Like, I don't carry venom for people that don't, like, that's it's whatever. Some of my best good friends, some of the smartest people I know, don't participate in elections because they don't see the point in it. And that's cool. That's what they believe. I disagree, but it's cool. But I do oftentimes question it in terms of it take 5 minutes to vote. It like not even that. Like I was in and out in like 3 minutes. And I watched a few people get turned away while I was voting. It don't take a lot of time and it don't hurt nothing. At the very least, it's a benign activity. At the very most, though, it's an extremely beneficial activity. What's the harm in participating?
Hey, man, organize inside, organize to the polls, and organize within your community. You can make a great impact. A great, great, great impact. Get your mind and your grind right. Hey, man, we're going to have to wrap this thing up because it's like 11:30. I got to get my ass up. And Pat throwing up a vesica. Y'all know what a vesica is? You think they know what a vesica is? Mm-mm. But go look up the word vesica. But that thing crazy. Hey, man. Let's just make sure we doing what we need to do. Take care of ourselves and our community, our families, and our people. Appreciate y'all checking us out. Freedom Train Podcast Series, greatest podcast ever in your Mickey Ficky Live, www.freedomtrainradio.com.
Check out this from the screen. Check out the fix. We're going to get Joe one of these fancy overlays.
Yeah, I'm going to get that shit. Like me. I'm going to get that shit straight up. This is going to happen. Amen. So remember, check out all our podcasts. We got some good things coming up for y'all on the Freedom Train Network. And going to make it happen like that. See y'all next time. Peace the fuck out.